Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Up across the 15, cuts left to 20, on the room at the 30, headed to the near sideline, one man to beat, makes the move at midfield, coming to the near side at the 30, he's at the 20, he's at the 10, 5, touchdown Kentucky!
And here we are again, Believe in Kentucky, Believe Podcast Network, Aaron Gershon for the Cats Paws, my name is Vinny Hardy. We're starting to make a little routine of these emergency late night midnight oil episodes, man.
Holy crap.
Just a few days ago. It's a blur. I don't know what day it was.
Sunday night. Monday morning.
We're talking about Cal to Arkansas. And you know, of course you want to move quickly. And here we are talking about the new hire that happens to be Mark Pope.
Can you believe it? Wow. Well, four nights ago, whenever the hell that was when we were on here, I was speechless, and here we are again, dude. I mean, I had to, like, when I think it was Matt Norlander had it first, but the first tweet I saw was from John Rothstein, and I was like, that's a parody account, right? Like, I had to go through his tweet. I'd be like, oh, this is happening. Mark Pope, that's the choice. And look, we'll get into it a little bit. We're not going to go crazy long here this late at night, but we'll get into it a little bit. I think there's some more positives that are being overlooked here with the gut reaction is so negative. So we'll get into a little bit of that. But the fact that this comes 12 hours after it seemed like Mitch Barnhart's top guy turned him down in what was it kind of like around 9 a.m. this morning, the tea leaves from Waco kind of it started to feel like it was going the wrong direction. And then, you know, it comes out that Scott Drew's turned them down. Okay, Scott Drew's off the board. Then it sounded like the Crafts or someone was in New York City working with Dan Hurley's agent today, trying to at least throw the mother offer and see what happens. And that gets turned down. Okay, you kind of expect that. So then it's, do you wait for Billy Donovan? It's hard to... for me, it was a little difficult to wait, but there are some secondary choices like a Bruce Pearl. I thought Bruce Pearl would be great here, even if you want to go like the Mark Few route, who's not making much money at Gonzaga. There were other options on the secondary market that would have come to my mind before Mark Pope, but I think John Rothstein reported at 5 o'clock around then that he'd be getting an interview, and at whatever time that was, 9 o'clock, 9:30. He's the head coach of Kentucky. I mean, and now it's reporting a five-year, $5.5 million contract for Mark Pope. So
not much.
But just shocking. When we don't know his salary at BYU is because it was private. But shocking.
He wasn't. I'm sure he's getting a little bit of a raise, even though it's real cheap when you talk about Kentucky fans. But I mean, this is. You know, surplus money, I guess, for the NIL collective now to get to the players, because you're not spending a ton on the coach.
Yeah, you have to, and you could hire a really good staff with that money too. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big part of this. What's the staff he puts together here at Kentucky? I honestly haven't gotten a chance to really dig deep into his staff at BYU right now. And if I recognize any names, I'm just taking a quick peek while we're talking here. I don't recognize a single name, so we'll see if any of those guys are coming with or what he decides to do there. But, you know, you'll have resources here that he didn't have in Provo, Utah. That's for sure. It's not, there's going to be less limitations. You're not a private school. So there are some things. And he's going to – look, if anyone that was going to take this job outside of Rick Pitino understands what it means to be the head coach of Kentucky, what this program means to this state, means to the college basketball landscape, knows just the feeling of what Lexington's like when the program's on top, it's Mark Pope. So there are positives in that aspect. I think when we have the introductory press conference, whenever that is, I think Mitch Barnhart's going to sell it by saying, look at John Shire at Duke and look at Hubert Davis at UNC, two program guys who played their ball there. The only difference is those two guys got their start with their legendary coaches, right? Or not there, per se. In Shire's case, yes, with Coach K, and then Hubert Davis getting to learn under Roy Williams, whereas Pope went a different route. He was in medical school after 3 years, drops out, and he goes, floats around. He's at Georgia under Mark Fox, at Wake, at BYU, and then he gets the head coaching job at Utah Valley and here at BYU. So, you know, it's similar in that aspect. I think that's going to be the sales pitch here. There's some fun stuff offensively we can talk about a little bit, but there is, look, again, I think there's some really good upside to this hire. I think the ceiling is very high, but the floor is very, 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 very low. And this hire is extremely risky. I mean, he's never won an NCAA tournament game. He's 8-9 in conference tournaments. Like, this is this is an unproven guy. And I like a lot of what he brings to the table, but the unknown and the I think you would have, there are just so many different guys that had resumes put together that I think were more ready for this job. And that's what makes it hard to fully accept and fully buy into. But again, there are some positives that I hope are getting too far overlooked.
I had no problem waiting on Billy Donovan. I mean, I get the, you know, get a guy in, get a roster going. But at this point, would a few more days be that detrimental? I don't know. And now, you know, there's been reports that he was contacted and not interested. Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. I heard a little bit of a mixed when I've heard he was contacted. He wouldn't really talk about it until the Bulls were done. But like the inch where it was coming from that he might be interested was more so people that know him well. Sounded like, you know, his wife apparently is a big horse country person, and they have a farm in Ocala, Florida, which is horse country down there, you know, just south of Gainesville. So there were some things that maybe suggested he would be interested, but nothing straight from the horse's mouth type of thing.
See, Billy Donovan for us is like John Gruden for the Tennessee fans. Every time there was a coaching search, well, John Gruden was over here at Westtown Mall.
Is that white? Well,
John Gruden's in Maryville. John Gruden's in Alcoa. Well, Billy Donovan's in Versailles. Billy Donovan's over here at, you know, in Woodford County on Nicholsville Road. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
I still, you know, is he worth the wait compared to rushing into an unknown? I think so.
Yeah.
Like you just talked about the floor. And look, well, Pope played here, won a chip, the title here. Like, we get all that. We appreciated it. The, you know, as a coach, it's not
there yet.
Not to sizzle. And you don't have to be Patino or Calipari, but a little more substance. And historically, Kentucky's hired guys who have done a little something at their previous stop. You know, Patino had taken Providence to a Final Four with Billy Donovan. You know. Tubby went to the Sweet 16, I think, in 96, and lost on a buzzer beater to the Syracuse team that went to the title game that lost to Kentucky.
Yes.
So Tubby is a
Billy Gillespie had to
Billy beat Louisville. That was knee-jerk. You know, Texas A&M beat Louisville, went Kentucky. You know, I think that was a little hasty. Cal had done what he had done at Memphis. Should have already had a title at Memphis before he came here. So little more meat on the bone for these other guys.
Sure.
And you know, what's everybody harped on about Cal? One tournament win, one SEC tournament win in 4 years. And this dude has none.
Yeah, he's only Mark Pope, just some quick number stuff, if I can pull it up real quick. His first year at BYU, they would have made the tournament. It was the COVID year of 2019. And, well, I guess we'll start at Utah Valley. Really good regular season records, just never broke through and won that regular season tournament. Fun fact, I put it on Twitter, but my first game as a freshman at UK was opening night of the 2017-18 season. And Utah Valley and Mark Pope were the opponent. And Utah Valley was winning by 9 at halftime. And I was like, I thought I came to Kentucky. Like, where am I? Auburn, Tennessee? What are we doing here? They ended up, UK won that game by 10, but it was ugly. But that was Mark Pope. So they do some really good stuff at Utah Valley. He goes back to BYU, where he was an assistant for a couple of years. That first season, BYU was 13th in the KenPom, which is really, really good. And went 24-8 overall, 13-3 in the WCC. So that's a tournament resume. Who knows what they would have done in March? Kind of the same type of thing where we don't know where Kentucky would have done in March that year. You know, the max year. Next season they make the they go 24-11. That was the third year. Second year they went 20-7 during the COVID shortened year. They went 10-3 in conference play, get the 60 to the NCAA tournament. They get knocked out by the UCLA team with Johnny Juzang that went to the Final Four. Next year, 24-11, 9-6 in conference play, NIT quarterfinals. And then his worst year was his fourth year, which was last the 2022-23 season. Went just 19-15. 77th in the KenPom, so that was a bad one. But then this past year, it was a good year. Like, I get they lost to Duquesne as a 6th seed. That's not good. I was in the building in Pittsburgh while it was the middle of the Oregon-Creighton game, and the whole building is lighting up because Duquesne right down the road is beating BYU. But that team this year, first year in the Big 12, 23-11, 10-8, which is 5th place in the Big 12. They won at Allen Fieldhouse. There haven't been many teams that have done that the last 10 years. They won at Baylor, beat Scott Drew at Baylor, who's ranked number 14. They beat NC State, obviously, went to the Final Four. And they beat Iowa State at home, which beat in Provo, that is. Iowa State, obviously, won the Big 12 tournament. So they had a good year. They were 14th in offensive efficiency, which is just 7 spots lower than Kentucky. 84th adjusted tempo, 60th, though, in defensive efficiency. But they were 30th in defensive efficiency his first year. So he's proven he can coach some defense. And then they scored 81.4 points per game. That ranked 22nd. And they shoot a crap ton of threes. So it's going to be a more modern offense. There's some stuff on that resume that's good. It's just not, as Cal would like to say, Kentucky good. And yet, I think maybe if you gave Mark Pope, let's say he has 3 years, right? They're in the Big 12, which is still going to be, you know, they lose Texas and Oklahoma. That's not a big deal for basketball. Kansas and Arizona's coming in. So they're arguably getting better at basketball. Say the next 3 years, they finish in the top four of the Big 12 again twice. They win a Big 12 tournament and they win some tournament games. Then I think you could talk me into it a lot more. Right. But right now, where the current resume sits, I'm skeptical of why this is the right timing. So I think the ceiling's really high. I'm just worried about the floor here.
I'm gonna hit a few of the comments. We're streaming on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. Follow, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, put a comment in there and let everybody know what you think. We appreciate it. First one, Josh Knight. This is why I didn't want Cal to leave. Never trusted Mitch. He's hired Joker, Kyra, Billy, and now this.
I get the Mitch angle, but the Cal stuff ran its course. That's 2020 hindsight. If they had hired Dan Hurley today, you'd be like, F John Calipari, right? Yeah, so
and there's been other good hires. Every day AD is going to have some good and bad hires. You know, y'all saw, you know.
And this one might work. We just don't know.
You know, Stoops, Cal, Skinner. There's been a lot of good hires mixed in as well. But if you aren't a Mitch guy, you're going to focus more on the hires that didn't hit. If you are pro Mitch, you're going to focus on the hires.
I'm very in the middle with Barnhart personally. But I don't think, you know, the Cal stuff, it was over. Last year, by the way, and they have some guys with eligibility left, but I think it was 10 seniors and 2 juniors on that roster. So he's going to build an experienced team. Their leading scorer does have 1 year of eligibility left. So, you know, we'll see what happens portal wise, but you know, he's a guy who's going to have a modern offense and experience on this roster.
C3K says, I'm confident he can do it. And
he definitely can.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm a little skeptical and I hope I'm wrong. Just like last year, if Cal had stayed, I wasn't confident that he could get it back. I hope I was wrong. Hopefully he could have, but I wasn't confident with Cal staying going into this upcoming season. Now it sounds like I'm just never confident in anything. That's not the case. But Pope here, I'm hoping he can do it. I hope I'm wrong, yes. Even though I'm a little skeptical.
Oh, me too.
We'll see. Oh, Mary's hit on what we talked about. Billy was contacted.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. Hopefully he was contacted.
Again, to kind of summarize it, sounds like some people in his camp thought he might be. Sounded like his wife would have been really intrigued, but there was no, like, from Billy Donovan was totally focused on the Bulls. Like, he was not going to stop focusing on what was going on with the Chicago Bulls. They're going to play in the play-in tournament on Tuesday. If they win that game, they're in the second play-in game on Thursday. And then if they win that, they'd be playing into May, and you couldn't wait till May. Like, that would have been off the table. So,
that's a lot of if, though. I mean,
a lot of if. The Bulls suck. You know, when they really suck.
You having to limp into a play-in, and then you know,
a lot of ifs. Oh yeah. But I'm just saying, if that happened, and they
then move on. But when you probably only having to wait a week,
right?
I'd have waited a week, man. If they got hot and pulled an NC State. And you know they're in the second round of playoffs. When we can't wait that long.
No.
This is, you know, you're a Giants fan. We see the Eagles fans. It's NFL draft time coming up. You know, we've seen Eagles fans boo every single draft pick. You know, Donovan McNabb was booed to death, and he turned out good. This is how Mark Pope. It's not gonna be a lot of excitement. There's a lot of not saying they're going to – I don't know. You know, he's going to be that offensive lineman that gets drafted when you're hoping you get a wide receiver, and you're like, what do we do? That's kind of the vibe right now.
This hire, if you want to go to my sports teams, reminds me of the Yankees hiring Aaron Boone, I respectfully disagree with that. Matt McMahon's yes, he is doing a good job. I think he's on his way there, but – he hasn't even – at least Mark Pope's been to the NCAA tournament.
He's less proven than Pope, and that's
– yeah. Well, I guess he took – I'm sorry, did take Murray to the NCAA tournament. But
yeah,
he has – at LSU, like, he had a pretty good roster this year, and it didn't work out. So, beat Kentucky, but that's not saying much. But what was I saying there? Like, the Yankees hiring Aaron Boone, they hired a guy that had a really big upside, understood the city, understood the expectations, but, like – the track record wasn't there. And you know what? He's in year seven, has been mediocre by Yankee standards, really good if you're an Orioles or another fan, Met fan, really good. But
he was on the hot seat a couple times, right?
In the what now?
He was on the hot seat a couple different times.
He's on the hot seat right now. I mean,
y'all were like 10-2, and he's still in the hot seat, right?
Yeah, 10-3. And they better keep rolling.
Oh, Cats Covers, Trace Terrell, and all those guys over there. And a lot of people are probably like that, talking themselves into, let's, like you said, the thing about it, whatever the case with Billy Donovan, contacted him, didn't want to wait. But you knew you had a couple guys more proven in your pocket. You knew Bruce Pearl would have just.
He would have crawled here.
Yeah. So you had that.
That was the kind of the guy I got pretty hyped about. I'm not gonna lie. I was starting to really talk myself into the Bruce train, but that never even, I don't even know if that was ever an option, to be honest with you.
Doc Refine says, I think you guys are missing the point. None of the top guys were
interested. The top guys weren't. Okay. Well, they were, but one of them, look, Scott Drew, and we said it on the show last night. He had to pray on it, literally. Super religious dude, and his wife is a super reserved person. Their family, they have high school kids in high school in Waco. They decided no. What are you gonna do? Kentucky did all they could on Drew. It sounded like Drew wanted to be here. The family didn't. Okay. Dan Hurley was never gonna happen. They tried, it wasn't gonna happen. But like, again, Billy Donovan's a tough one because of the timeline. But, like, Bruce Pearl is, in my opinion, is a top guy ahead of Mark Pope. They didn't give him a chance. They didn't give some of the guys a chance. Yeah. That's the difference with this. We don't know. We do know Bruce Pearl would have been interested. I could tell you that, and everyone knows that. But they didn't even give him a chance. Mark Few, could he have been interested? I don't think they ever gave him a chance. So
there's second tier.
Even
Patino, top guys.
Patino still was interested. Look at all the reports out there tonight. He was interested. Doesn't mean Kentucky was interested. That's the difference. Who was Kentucky interested in? Clearly, for whatever reason, Mitch Barnhart's list was Drew, Hurley, Pope. And it's Pope.
We got – which you got to field a team. Reed, Reed and, Jeff and Mark, of course, played
Jeff
together.
Jeff and Mark were – college roommates.
Yeah, so there's that option.
if Reed Shepard's at the introductory press conference, the fan base is going to be bought in. I don't care what anyone's saying right now. They will be.
And from the shooting standpoint, that'll get you fired up too with Travis Perry coming in.
Because he's a lot of threes.
You know, Travis Perry, lights out shooter. He should fit in well with this new system that's coming into play for Pope.
Yep. I agree.
It's not really fair to compare an X with the
You know what? I do agree with that. Because John Calipari – are we talking about Calipari, I assume, as the X?
Yes, so, yeah.
I think I do agree with that just because – let's compare them when they're both said and done. Because Calipari had a resume that was – there aren't that many guys who had – even Bruce Pearl doesn't have a resume that's as good as Calipari's was coming in here, in my opinion.
But if your X is a – 10 and then your new significant other is a 4, you're still going to compare. It's not
going to compare. I understand why it's not fair. You have to, because that's part of the process. And when we're talking Mitch Barnhart hires, there's 3 guys, Billy Gillespie, Cal, and now Pope. So you have to compare, but I get it. I agree. It's not really fair to yet. And Calipari's resume was much better than Pope's at this time. And that's not necessarily Pope's fault. But,
and that goes back to historically, most guys get hired by Kentucky after they have cut their teeth and acquired a resume somewhere else.
And Cal has been coaching. I mean, Cal got hired in 09. He had been coaching since the mid-80s. So, what, that's 25 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Pope didn't start coaching until 2009. I'm sorry, 2009. Cal's first year as UK head coach was the same year Mark Pope got his start coaching. So he's been coaching for 15 years.
Yeah. He's like my age, late 40s. You know?
He's 51, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's a little bit older than me. Yeah. Reed should not come back if he's truly not a big guy.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But from here and, you know, being from here and not even having an extended tournament run, who knows how much that'll weigh.
NIL money makes it a choice. Where if this happened 4 years ago, when Reed would have already been in the draft right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, it's I'm skeptical, but nobody would work harder than Pope.
I agree with that.
Deacon Larry commented the other night on the show. I think a lot of people are there, too. Skeptical. Yes.
That's the exact thing I have.
Talking themselves into it. There are some positives. You hit on a lot of the reasons why. It just feels a little when you know what else was out there.
Yes.
And that's, it's
100%. I mean, the possibilities that were out there feel like you might have missed something, but Mitch is also, it's very, he's not going to take guys with a lot of red flags. I mean, Cal wasn't really his guy. Remember, it was Mike Pratt who talked him into it. He wanted Billy Donovan. He's a guy who looks for squeaky clean as far as allegations go, and guys who he knows are going to go be grinders, and he completely misread Billy Gillespie, because Billy Gillespie was the opposite of squeaky clean. But with Cal, he found a grinder, he found a winner. And with Pope, he found a squeaky clean guy. This guy's a grinder. He would crawl to be here. And also, he's a guy that had, like, the NCAA tournament resume is not there. We all acknowledge that. But he's a winner. I mean, he is 110-52. That is a good record. And he's done it at Utah Valley and BYU. And he won at Allen Fieldhouse. 10 teams have done that, I think, in the last 10 years. So there are some good things. There are some things you can build on. And with more resources, you should expect to be better. But it's just not the name that's going to be like – when you go into that game against Arkansas – I hate to bring up Cal again, but when you go into that game against Arkansas – like, it would have been cool. You would have wanted Bruce Pearl on the sideline. You would have wanted Rick Pitino on the bench, or Mark Few. Mark Pope isn't going to be very he's not going to come into the press conference and kind of talk a little smack and be ready for it. Like, where those guys would have. And Nate Oates even, but I think that there were a lot of issues with Nate Oates off the court.
Absolutely. The bar isn't too high. He wins one tournament game in 4 years.
There you go. Hey, if he wins two SEC if they win two SEC tournament games, more they double the total. So, yeah. There you go. I like that one.
Absolutely, I did too.
That's a good one. You're right. Yeah. You're right. The goal is to raise the bar, but we got to start with the bar.
Christopher Wright, this will take time to work. True. This is no Hurley hire, but remember, this is true too. Hurley told his wife he might be fired just 2 years ago.
Yeah, UConn was UConn was a problem. UConn was bad. And they remember, they lost to – New Mexico State? I don't remember. They lost to a 12 seed in the same night that Kentucky lost to St. Peter's. UConn was a 5, and they lost to a 12. And that, I think that might have been his first tournament appearance at UConn. So it was slow out of the gate at UConn. And now they're a powerhouse. So there aren't many guys like, again, Cal, who can just blink of the eye, they turned it around. Even you look at Rick Barnes, it took him a year or two at Tennessee. It took Bruce Pearl a couple of years at Auburn. It usually takes time, but now it's a little different because you have the transfer portal. It's Kentucky. Guys are going to want to play here, especially if you get an assistant who's kind of has some more connections to this side of the country and some of the elite guys. Like, you're going to be able to get – you're starting with one guy, Travis Perry, most likely. And that's not even guaranteed. So you're going to have 12 to 13 spots to fill. Really 10, because 3 will be, or no, 13 scholarship. So you're going to have a lot of open chairs. You're going to have guys that want to play here. And he's going to probably bring a couple of his own dudes from BYU. He has two kids signed. They're both 3 stars. I don't know much about them. So I'd assume those two might be 2, but like he's going to have a chance to compete year one, even if they're not. You just don't do what Louisville did. As we keep saying, don't be Louisville year one. Don't be a tournament contender, get in the tournament, win a game. If you get in the tournament and win a game year one with Mark Pope, you're feeling pretty damn good about the future.
You guys can sugarcoat this all you want. Cal's going to come in here and beat our brains.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if Rick Pitino was on the Kentucky bench that night. Like, Cal, that is going to be the most motivated Cal's ever been in his entire career. And when Cal wants to win a game, when he sets his mind to it, like fully 100%, he usually wins a game.
Yeah.
That was the problem his last couple of years at Kentucky. He didn't have that much. The only games where I felt like it came out were the Louisville games, maybe the Auburn game on the road, and then the games against Alabama because he hates Nate Oates' guts. Now, if Kentucky got – again, there were some off-the-court issues with Nate Oates that I had learned about that kind of kept them from making that hire. I'm not going to put any of them out here just because I haven't gotten them fully verified, but I feel pretty good that off-the-court issues made it really hard for Kentucky to hire Nate Oates. And that would have been a guy that would have come in here and wanted to kick Cal's ass right back, and it would have been a hell of a game. But Cal's going to – I think that would have been my prediction, whether it was Mark Pope, Rick Pitino, the Pope, doesn't matter.
Man, appreciate all the comments. Hard to keep up with all of them. They're coming in fast and furious, but appreciate y'all staying up with us and commenting and answering questions. Somebody did comment and say that it was New Mexico State that you were talking about in the tournament. Yep.
Chris Chance.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, this all started when SMU fired their coach Rob Lehner after 2 years, even though he didn't even do a bad job. That's what started this. Andy Enfield, Eric Musselman, John Calipari, and Mark Pope.
Yeah, it's so crazy how the dominoes. You don't know which way they're going to go, and you know what ricochet will do this and that. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Hey, it's wild, but. Look, this is the bed that Mitch Barnhart's laying in, and all the fans could do is support. I think it's just I do feel bad for Mark Pope that this is the reaction, because this is a guy that won. Obviously, he's a hero here. He won a national championship here. He was amazing. And I was doing some research, and you probably remember this, Vinny, the 1995 SEC tournament. He was awesome. He had 2 double-doubles, including in the championship game against Arkansas, who's the defending national champions. Yeah. He had a 19-point game against Auburn. This is a guy who was a program hero. I mean, anytime you're a national champion here as a rotational player, especially a guy with like 27 minutes in a national championship game win You're a program hero, team captain of that team, nonetheless. So he deserves a chance. I mean, the anger should be, and I think it's been for the most part, if you're angry about this, go to Mitch Barnhart. Don't go to Mark Pope. Give Mark Pope a shot. It's not his fault. Just like it wasn't Mark Stoops' fault. There were some people who were skeptical about that hire back then. It wasn't his fault then. If he had hired the Marshall head coach instead of Kenny Brooks, it wouldn't have been her fault. Like,
oh yeah, Kim Caldwell. Yeah.
I'm not taking a shot. I'm just saying, like, Kenny Brooks is a flasher hire type thing. So it's not Mark Pope's fault. You got to give him a chance to prove Mitch right here. But as long as he doesn't screw up anything off the court, doesn't become Kenny Payne, I'm not going to be mad at Mark Pope. This one's on Mitch Barnhart if it goes wrong.
Cobby Cobb saying Pope has that same basketball IQ as Rondo, so that's,
you know, he has a
basketball mind.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, if Rondo's really serious in coaching, that's a guy that you can be. Even if he's not on the staff, he could be like a Tyler Ulis role for Mark Pope. That could help really get the ball rolling and have two guys who understand this program as good as anyone together. So there are different things that Mark Pope can do, I think, that'll get fans excited really quickly. Like you were saying, Vinny, we're already in the talk ourselves into it stage with fans and even us too a little bit. I mean, the gut reaction was so negative, but you got to try to find – I mean, look, it was the same with Louisville and Pat Kelsey, right? And then Pat Kelsey comes. Yeah. Has a kick-ass press conference to his credit, and the Louisville fan base is all in. And I respect them. What's there not to respect? And I think we'll have – I kind of feel like he's a guy who will have a similar effect at his press conference whenever that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we'll talk about the contract. If the presser's tomorrow, you think it will be Monday?
Yeah, my guess is it'll be there tomorrow. They won't do – I've confirmed they won't do it Saturday because of the spring game. So it'll either be tomorrow night or tomorrow, or it'll be Sunday or Monday is my guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, y'all keep on keeping up with everything. Follow us. We'll still have emergency podcast, and we'll do our regularly scheduled Wednesday at 9 like we do every week.
Yep.
Keep up with us. Every episode is on the Sea of Blue, Believe.com. Also on the Autograph app, where you can get all your coaching search content, off-season content.
Search, app. Get ready for that BYU coaching search content.
Absolutely. The Autograph app, for those that don't know, is an app where you get, you know, podcasts, articles, everything consolidated into one app. We're all reading articles. We're all listening to podcasts anyway. Now you can go to one place, the Autograph app, download the Autograph Phantom app, gives you access to all your favorite Kentucky content in one place, and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merch, and more. You're already listening to our podcast, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for doing so. Get in there, sign up. There's a leaderboard. You get points for every podcast you listen to, every article you read, and then, just like we said, you can, you know, earn points, swag, merch, tickets, all kinds of prizes for doing stuff you already do. Just listening to podcasts, reading articles. Go to Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it for free today using our referral code Believe Kentucky, BLEAV Kentucky. The link in the code will also be in this podcast description. So, AG, man, I think we got our thoughts out. The hires made. Been a crazy week. Mark Pope will be coming back to Lexington to take over his alma mater. So,
yeah,
here we go.
Here we go. You know, again, just got to give it a chance. Mark Pope's, from all accounts, a great dude. At least I'm looking forward to having a relationship with the head coach at Kentucky. I didn't have that's for damn sure. I have it with Mark Stoops. I really appreciate it. I've had it, you know, a bit with Nick Mingione on the baseball side of things. I haven't had it on the men's basketball side. John Calipari last year called me some guy in the media. So, you know, I'm looking forward to actually maybe getting to know the head coach of Kentucky a little bit, a guy that's really going to appreciate being here. I think, he'll give it all he can, and just got to hope for the best.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, with everybody's just a little apprehensive. Everybody's going to feel how they're going to feel.
Yes.
We'll all see it play out together. And he can coach. It's just a little bit less meat on the bone than other coaches we've seen come in here. And for those that are skeptical and saying it's a joke or going to the NIT, well, we all hope we're wrong if we're in that camp as well. But we're going to find out.
Yep, we are going to find out.
What kind of roster he puts together, and we'll go from there.
It's very similar to any new coach right now. You got to wait and see what the roster is. I think what Kelsey's probably up to like 3 or 4 players, and he's done a good job so far. We'll see. Let's see what the roster is. Let's see what the staff is, and you know, we'll have a better opinion when they start playing games. But the initial reaction, I get it. I get the negative. I get the talk yourself into it. I get it all. But I'm excited to get to work. Also, it just occurred to me, we got Mark and Mark as our 2 big coaches. Mark Stoops, hey, Mark Pope. It's the Mark Show in Lexington.
Absolutely. And, you know, we may agree or disagree with the hire, but we're still going to bleed blue and root for whoever is in there. And it's Mark Pope, so we're going to go ride with him and see where he takes us.
See where it goes, man. That's all you can do.
Appreciate y'all riding with us on this episode. Barring any other unforeseen developments, we'll be back Wednesday. Wednesday evening, we'll be live streaming like we are right now every Wednesday. When you have crazy stuff going on, we pop on and talk about Cal going to Arkansas or Mark Pope getting hired or whatever else it may be. Spring game this weekend, be talking some football, and baseball team beat Auburn to start that series off. So, you know, a little bounce back from Samford. They already got the first win at Auburn. Still rolling right along, 12-1 in the SEC. So props to Coach Mangione and everything they're doing on the baseball side.
Yep.
Appreciate y'all. You know, subscribe, like, follow, leave a comment on Apple Podcasts and all that good stuff. For AG, Aaron Gershon, check him out at the Cat's Paws. My name is Vinny Hardy. Jalen Whitlow will be with us Wednesday. Everybody, if you stand on up later on tonight, enjoy the rest of your night. If you're going to bed, sleep good. We'll see everybody Wednesday on our next episode of Believe in Kentucky.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.